Hello, and welcome to the IDEMS podcast. I'm Lily Clements, a data scientist, and I'm here with David Stern, a founding director of IDEMS. Hi, David.
Hi, Lily. What are we discussing today?
I thought we could continue on this 20-year anniversary for the RMS.
Research method support.
Yes, sorry, on research method support. And discuss on explore, describe, present from a COP perspective, which is community of practice. Yes.
This is the West African community of practice of the Global Collaboration for Resilient Food Systems. And as part of this series, and there are a whole number of episodes around this, we've been discussing our role in research method support. We have done previous episodes on explore, describe, present as ways of thinking about data visualization when you're analyzing data and how to differentiate those and how to use descriptives, graphs, tables as different parts of an analysis process, and how we found this framing of explore, describe, present has been useful. But I don't think we've talked about how this relates to the West African community of practice, how it's come about, and really why I've got so convinced about this through the experiences I've had in that community.
Interesting. So where did explore, describe, present come from? Or is it that it came from somewhere and it was in that community you saw the power of it?
In some ways, I don't know where it came from. It's a strange thing because it's something which I never thought of as a big thing. And then I didn't find it anywhere, really. We've had episodes around the International Association of Statistical Education. This is a community. They have conferences like the ICOTS conference, the International Conference on Teaching Statistics, and many others. And in some ways, this just feels like something which is known and used in these communities. But as a way of actually discussing, so the fact that you use descriptives and visualizations to communicate, and journalists use it to present in powerful ways, this is common knowledge. The fact that it's used as part of a data cleaning process, and when you're preparing your data, again, this is just data tidying. It's known, it's used like that. And the fact that, of course, when you're doing your analysis, it's not just about the modeling, but you should be visualizing. That is the analysis, that models and visualizations always should be going hand in hand. All of this is common knowledge in those communities. But what I realized as I was working in the West African community of practice and giving workshops on data visualization, working with projects, is that amongst agricultural researchers, amongst other actors, if you want, who are working with data, some of these things are new. They hadn't thought of using data visualizations at all of these places, in all of these ways. And so actually, it became a useful communication tool to remind people that you're not just doing data visualization once and then you're done. You do data visualization differently in these different ways. And there was clear confusion that data visualization was just one thing. And so being able to talk about it as having at least these three different phases of data visualization was just something that I found extremely useful. I didn't find that it was something original, because all of these phases have been talked about in the statistics education community for as long as I've been there, which is getting on for two decades now. So certainly these aren't new ideas, but in the communities, particularly this West African community of practice, the ability to talk about these different phases and then to differentiate and name the processes of data visualization and associate them to different phases has been extremely valuable and useful. And it's really emerged from there for me, but it's, as we've discussed in the past, it is just more general. It applies all over continuously in different contexts.
Yes, I've not seen it in the community of practice or in action, because I'm not, I guess, as involved in that side of items. So I suppose it would be interesting to hear a little bit about how it was used or how visualizations were used before and what sort of visualizations there are. Is this a community which use a kind of statistical tool for their visualizations, or what's their approach?
As you might guess, knowing the work that we do, we are software agnostic, and we are software agnostic in the way we try and train in that community and the way we work.
Of course, yes, of course.
However, we do also give trainings. And so I think it was back in 2018 or 2019, maybe 2019, was a time where in the community there were a lot of people starting to work with bigger data sets, and therefore needing to visualize their data in ways they weren't used to, because they'd started collecting and having more data than they previously had. And so we gave a data visualization workshop, which did focus on our Instat. They didn't have to use our Instat. They could do whatever they wanted. They could use whichever tool. But actually, in all three countries, we gave it in Niger, in Burkina Faso, and in Mali. It was a three-day workshop in each. And in all three countries, over 90% of people used our Instat. That was very much appreciated as helping them get into this visualization of more complex data. And what was interesting back then, this was before we had the language. I didn't use that language of explore, describe, present at all back then. But what we were broadly doing is explore and some initial describe. And this is where we got to. But what people wanted to do was present with that language. This is where they were wanting to use these as communication tools. And some of them did. Some of them then took what they learned from this and started using these skills to then present in ways that were quite powerful.
Which isn't that bad.
No, it's not bad at all. It was great. I was really happy about that. But it did highlight that the skills of using visualizations as presentation skills were underdeveloped.
I see. Yeah. Well, I don't think that that's unique just to that region.
Absolutely not. This is a general issue. Good data visualizations are hard, especially as a communication tool for presentation. But what was, I think, rather interesting then is that training was actually very appreciated and kept coming back as something that people wanted more of. But it was clear that what they wanted more of was really this idea of being able to present. And we gave a lot of smaller trainings. We started giving these in-country trainings where they were getting the skills. And this was the idea that actually having developed and given that training, that we could now get those skills to wider audiences in each country by giving local trainings. And that sort of is part of what then developed there. But recognizing that actually, even more than the trainings that I'd been given, those in-country trainings were not setting people up to build these impressive graphs for presentation. And so it was actually just over a year ago, really. Well, no, maybe I should tell a little bit of the story in between. So in between, we then had a whole range of different trainings we did, including some about trying to get storytelling, trying to help people tell their stories, because there was this increased desire to affect policymakers and other decision makers and help farmers use the results, the research results, for decision making.
So by storytelling, that meant, and that involved some data visualization, that involved some of this present, or was this entirely this present?
No, this was when it was first conceived. The data visualization was not a strong part of it, but it emerged as a need and a desire. And so that then motivated, in some sense, us to give a series of workshops in Niger, Burkina Faso, and Mali, where we were now more explicit. These ideas are now solidified. They now were communicated clearly about this explore, describe, present. and where we were then focusing on the present. And of course, the thing I like to think about is, we've mentioned this in other episodes, but it's worth repeating here, is when you have your data, you can explore it. When you have your data and a research question, you can now describe the research question in terms of your data. You can do a descriptive analysis which relates to your data. This can relate to the models you fit and other things as well. And so when you have your research question and the data, then you do your describe. And when you have an audience you are wanting to communicate to, plus the research question or the actual result you're trying to present and the data, that's when you can present. So in some sense, the present is where you also have your audience. This is what I think is so important in the way that we think about it. And this is why we think that distinction is really important. You can't do good, what we would call describe, if you don't know what you're trying to describe. What is the research question you're trying to address? What is it you're trying to describe? If you just have the data, you can still explore it. And that could help generate research questions. But once you have something you're trying to investigate to say, that's when you can now describe related to that. And the present is when you're actually saying, well, who are you trying to describe this? Who are you trying to present this to? And that's a really easy way of having this. And we found this was so appreciated as a way of helping frame the work that people were doing, that when we were asking for presentation, we were asking them to think about, well, who are you presenting to? Oh, you're presenting to farmers. Maybe averages and standard deviations aren't the right thing to present, because this isn't how farmers would interact with it. Oh, you're presenting to policy makers. Well, what is it that policymakers would actually need to hear, and how do they need it to be presented for them to be able to absorb the key messages simply? So thinking about the audience for the visualizations was then, it was wonderful to see how people reacted to this. And it really, I felt, going through this process with partners, it was also really impactful that, well, if you're just exploring the data and you don't yet have your research questions, you shouldn't be spending that much time on it, because you need to explore your data, but you shouldn't be spending a lot of time on individual visualizations, because they don't really matter because you don't yet have your research question.
Yeah, you don't have your, I guess, your context in a way.
You might have bits of context because you might have context variables, but you don't have a focus of what you're trying to actually get out of the data. Yeah. And so once you're trying to describe the data and actually get to a result, it is normal to spend more time on it to make sure that you're digging in and you're getting to the heart of the result and you're covering the different things, that you're understanding all the angles, that you can defend the result, that you've described all the bits of it. You know, if you've done some modelling, that you can actually say it was the appropriate model that you've done. You're able to check that visually and in other ways. And then finally, if you are aiming to get something which speaks to an audience, it's absolutely fine to spend a long time figuring out how to talk to that audience well. Maybe going and actually talking to people who are representative of that audience and saying, how does this land? What do you understand? What do you not understand? Iterating on it with the audience, because the audience really matters. You're not doing good presentation graphs unless the audience can consume them well. And so the fact that it takes a long time to figure out how to present to a particular audience well, that's absolutely fine and acceptable, and you should expect to put time into those visualizations. And this division of explore, describe, present also relates to how many visualizations you do. With explore, you do lots of them, but they're very quick. With describe, you still do quite a lot, but you're spending more time thinking about exactly what you're doing and how you're doing it. And with present, you might only do a handful at most. You might only do one, because you might only have a very short period of time to catch someone's attention.
And that one that you do and present takes you longer.
Exactly. It might take you longer than the others because it's worth putting that time in because you need to think about that audience. You might have another audience for who you do a handful, but you almost never want to present all the visualizations you've done when exploring. That wouldn't make sense. There's almost no audience that would want all that exploration and it wouldn't be efficient and it wouldn't be effective. That division of talking about explore, describe, present was something which afterwards a number of the researchers came back and said how useful they found it to help them framing the different ways in which they're using data visualization. It enabled them to feel like I can spend time on this. It is good to spend time on this. And it doesn't mean I have to spend time on that. Understanding the nature of it's not just data visualization, but there's different roles data visualization can play through your processes as a researcher or whatever you're doing was really valuable. And this is where I'm really taken with it now. I really like the framing. It just feels very useful.
Well, and it's nice and it's really interesting that it's come from this community of practice and from the work over there with research method support. But it's so relevant everywhere, I think, because this idea of present is something, well, this whole idea of explore, describe, present is something that I hadn't come across before in my education in statistics. And it is something that actually resonates so well and makes so much sense to the point that I know that presenting a graph is hard and it's not a strength. It's not something I've had experience in. And it's not something I think that is as easy as it sounds, I guess.
This is absolutely correct. I love the interactions in the spaces like ICOT, this International Conference on Teaching Statistics, where you have the real world experts on teaching statistics. And they really recognize, well, actually, journalists are using data in a very different way. And they're really focused on present. This is what they're doing. They're trying to. And that's a totally different skill set. And that's really recognized. And so this is where to come back to, is it new? I don't think so. But it is something which is, I believe, undervalued. It is not talked about. It's not in, I don't know any curriculum which really has this explicitly in.
Well, I hear that the MMI course at Open University Kenya will have it in.
Absolutely.
Which is a Masters in Mathematical Innovation course that we're currently working on.
Absolutely. And it is something where the fact that it has helped in that course and it really has helped structure that learning is exactly, this is testament to the fact that these simple reformulation of existing ideas can help, it can have value. I hope others take this up as a way of framing it. It's not something that I feel any big contribution that we've made to this, but it is something which I feel warrants taking up more space in discourse.
Absolutely. Do you have any final comments?
I guess the final comment to come back to the West African region is to really point out this is part of the 20th year anniversary of that community of practice. And I personally have been involved in it for over a decade, and the group that we're working for has been involved for the 20 years. That longevity, which has enabled some of these ideas to just solidify and emerge, has real merit. And I think, certainly from my side, the ideas that I'm presenting, the ideas from 2019 when I did the descriptive training, the ideas haven't changed that much, but the ability to communicate them in a way which resonates with the participants, I do feel we're doing a much better job. And this explore, describe, present is a really concrete example of that, where we have better language. And it's really interesting how important that language is and how nice it is that that emerges from these long-term collaborations.
Nice. Well, no, excellent. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.